thank you very much to all the members of the panel and to the members of the community that came out. I know it's been a long day already and a difficult day, and your continued attention and participation is really very much, very much appreciated. Okay. If the problems are so obvious, so why don't we get it? Denial is one of the great defense mechanisms for individuals and for communities. You know, we like to think of our community as amazing. As the Pasuk says, with regard to Avram Avinu and his family, V'shamru derech Hashem la'asos tzedaka u'mishpat. We're a good community with good values. Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gamlei Chasadim, nice people, generous people, and compassionate people. These are the stereotypes of our community, very often true. These are the stereotypes of a community and the vision to which we aspire of what we'd like to be. And there are many noble values in halacha and in hashkafa that support this vision. V'yahat l'recha kamocha, loving our neighbors as ourselves. The way we look at each other and treat each other and refrain from judging each other. So we are not choshei b'chsherim. We don't cast aspersions and assume someone's guilty. Dan l'chav schus, we give others the benefit of the doubt. Kibud ava'eim, honoring parents and elders, is extremely important. And quote harav, respect to rabbis, to teachers, and to rebbes. And all of these and many more are wonderful and important resources for creating the good society, godly society, the Kiddush Hashem that we like to live. But these resources, improperly understood and carelessly applied, are not resources at all, but they're rather roadblocks. They're sources of hurt for innocent children. They're sources of blindness for the members of our community. And rather than creating the Kiddush Hashem, the godly society, they perpetuate a Chilul Hashem, a society in which God is not present, and we harm the very most important members of that community. All in the name of Torah. Says the prophet Hosea, Ki yasharim darchei Hashem, v'tzadikim yelchu bam ufoshim yikashlu bam. God's Torah, Yesharim Darchei Hashem, God's mitzvos, his words are yashar, they're straight and they're good. When tzaddikim apply them properly, the path is straight. But when rishayim take advantage of them, then they're causes of great stumbling blocks. And so, halachas are misapplied. You heard before the importance of reporting, and we heard of the opposition to that reporting, being called a moser, turning a fellow Jew into the non-Jewish authorities. Don't have the time to elaborate on all of these issues now, but in many conversations I've had with Rav Schwartz, he hasn't, and I can quote you, that it is an obligation to report, and one does not violate the prohibition of Arkaos or Mesira by making such a report. I've heard the same in conversations with Rav Herschel Schechter, with Rav David Cohen. We have documentation from Rav Yashuv and from Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach and from the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Voldenberg, and so many other Gedolei HaPoskim that Mesira is not a problem. And so if somebody's posking that it is, Barishayim Yekashlu Bam, there are Megalapanim B'Torah Shaloka Halacha. There is no prohibition of speaking Lashon Hara when you have a molester, a pedophile, to reveal to the community or to share information with a teacher or with a trusted teacher who can help, or a parent who can help, or a healthcare professional, a therapist, or the police that can help. The Chafetz Chaim says explicitly that although we are not permitted to speak in negative fashion about anyone, but when it's the toeles, when there's something positive to be gained by it, then there's an obligation to speak out. There's an obligation to speak out. These are the words of the Netziv himself in his commentary in Ha'emek Davar on the Pasuk of the juxtaposition between two verses and two clauses in the verse. One is, Lo selech rachel ba'amecha, don't speak Lashon Hara. And that comes just next to Lotam Orodam Rayacha, don't stand by the blood of your brother. That if you remain silent, that will cause you to be a bystander that does not help someone who needs help, then you violate the prohibition in the Torah of Lo Sa'amod. The prohibition of Lashon Hara does not apply in that particular case. There's much more that can be said and needs to be said. The time doesn't permit me to do that. Now, the principles we mentioned before of Dan Lachav Schus, of giving people the benefit of the doubt, and Choshe Bechsherim, the prohibition against suspecting those who are otherwise kosher, are based on one of two principles. Either the principle of Rov, and in Jewish law, we follow the majority. The majority of people are good. So I have to assume that this person is part of the Rov. He's part of the majority. Or the principle that every individual has a cheskas kashrus, a legal presumption of being kosher, of being moral, of being ethical, of being appropriate. And all Jews, rachmanim, baishanim, gomlei chasadim, we are all merciful, we're all modest, we're all magnanimous, and that's the chazaka of being a Jew. And that's the presumption that has to be made about everyone. Especially family members, neighbors, fellow Orthodox Jews, and certainly rabbis and rebbeim. But we've heard that 95% of child molesters are known to the children. The parents, who children have to honor. Older siblings, neighbors, teachers, rabbis. It's usually someone who is known. And then there's pressure. I don't want to believe him. I can't believe it about Rabbi so-and-so. I can't believe it about my brother-in-law. I can't believe it about this important person in the community. And yet, the halacha in this case is not dan lechav schus. Give him the benefit of the doubt. It always bothered me. What about giving the kid the benefit of the doubt? Who deserves it? But not to give him the benefit of the doubt, because you know what? We know that these things happen. And we know that they happen in numbers larger than we'd like to admit. And we know that it happens by people who are otherwise deemed to be by the community, look from the outside, as fine, upstanding, moral, ethical, from individuals. Maseches Kala, La'olam yiyu kol adam be'einecha kilistim v'kabdam k'rama gamlio. How do you approach a person, says the Braisa in Maseches Kala. A person... Kol Adam, every individual should always be suspect in your eyes. Not innocent until proven guilty, but perhaps guilty until proven innocent. And yet at the same time, they are to be given kavod and be treated respectfully as if they were a great rabbi. Respect, but suspect. And the Maseches Kala gives some interesting and fascinating stories of people who were not doormats, and did not open themselves to be taken advantage of by others, and eventually were saved and were protected as a result of that. Secondly, when it comes to sexual matters, says the Gemara, Ein apotropos la'arayos, no one is trusted when it comes to matters of sexual behavior. And so the Torah imposes upon us the Isur of Yichud, a prohibition of being alone with a member of the opposite sex in many circumstances, no matter who it is. No matter who you are, because everyone has that possibility. So much so that the Rambam, based on the Gemara, and then the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins as well, that we do not appoint afilu adam ne'eman, even an otherwise trustworthy person, adam ne'eman v'kasher, who's otherwise appropriate and respected, lihiyos shomer chatzer sheyesh sham nashim, afapishuomeid bachutz she'ein apotropos la'arayos. Man is not appointed to be a guard of the woman's dormitory, even if he otherwise has no reason to suspect him. It's just not done. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch continue, Asur l'tamid chacham lishkon b'chatzur sheyesh ba'almana, af al pi she'einam yachid imam, b'nei achshad. A man, a tamid chacham, a rabbi, is not permitted to live alone in a common courtyard with another single woman, with a single woman who is not his wife. Unless his wife happens to be there and all kinds of things. Even though, from the outside, he's respected, he has integrity, he's a Talmud Chacham, And I'm not here to pick on rabbis. I happen to like them in many, many ways. But even individuals who would otherwise give the benefit of the doubt, even individuals who would otherwise say there's no reason to suspect him, the halacha says that everyone has to be suspect. And everyone has to be careful. After all human beings, small and great, have the Yetzer Hara, have an evil inclination that leads in all kinds of directions. We heard a little bit about the psychological makeup of predators. For whatever it is, whether it's poor impulse control or their psychological and mental health issues by which they're challenged, biological or psychosocial histories that are the causes of these things, predisposals for all kinds of antisocial behaviors, there may be reasons that everybody, that anybody, could be affected by these and therefore be predisposed to act out in these manners. And just being a Talmid Chacham, just learning Torah, is not necessarily the antidote. Because the Torah, although it was given to purify us and to help us fight that Yetzer Hara, it can be a Sam Chayim, it can be that elixir of life, but it can also be a Sam Maves, an elixir of death. We have many examples throughout rabbinic literature of even great people who were suspected and who were warned and who people had their eye on because they were concerned about otherwise inappropriate behavior. And so the Kohen Gadol, before he entered the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, was warned by the Zakenim, make sure you follow the ritual properly. And the Kohen Gadol cried for being suspected, and then they cried for having to suspect him. But every year they warned him. Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Lamed Aleph, Halcheach, Tochiach, and the obligation of rebuking another person who may be doing something wrong, Halcheach, Tochiach. So says the Gemara, we know that it's the job and the responsibility of a teacher to rebuke his student, but then Talmud L'Rav Minayin, and how do you know that even a student has the obligation to rebuke his teacher? Hocheach, tochiach, mikol makom, the doubling of that verb means for everyone under all circumstances. And so while there is concern about the reputation of the community, and while there is concern about respect for others, and while there is concern about respect for rebbes and other individuals, there are biblical obligations of lo samaro damrayecha, not to stand by when someone else is in trouble. A prohibition of ona'as devarim, of verbally and emotionally abusing and oppressing another individual. A pikuach nefesh, of saving a person both, as we heard, physically, but spiritually as well. And the obligation comes first and foremost to children. The pasuk says, Al tigubi mishichai, don't touch my anointed ones, my little mashiachs, don't touch my anointed ones. Uvin vi'ai al tareyu, and don't deal evilly and badly with my prophets. Who are mishichai, who are the anointed ones, says the Gemara. This refers to the Tinoko Shalbeis Rabban. This refers to little children. And the flow of the verse is important. The verse first says, don't touch the children, uvin vi'ai atareyu, and don't do harm to my teachers and to my rabbis. But children come first. Says the Gemara in Brachos, kol makom sheyesh chilul Hashem, in chokin kavod l'rav, when there is a desecration of God's name, then one respects no one, because it is the ultimate goal. It is the ultimate. It would be the ultimate violation of God's presence and the viability of Torah in the world if we overlook the harm and damage that is done that causes the Chilul Hashem, all in the name of Torah, all in the name of God, all in the name of protecting the community. This is the Gemara as well in Yoma, Pei Vavam and Aleph, in describing what is a Chilul Hashem. A person is from and is a Talmid Chacham, and but he's not dealing properly in business and with other people. Doesn't speak nicely to other individuals. And so if you're not a mensch, you're not honest in business, and that causes the Chilul Hashem, how much more so when it's sexually and physically and emotionally violating a child. What do people say about him? Oy lo leplonli shalom Torah. Woe to so-and-so who studied to learn Torah. Woe to his father and mother who taught him Torah. Woe to his teachers who taught him Torah. If this is Torah, and this is the kind of person that it makes, What's Torah about? So our obligation is to the safety and welfare of our children, body and soul. And our obligation is for the safety and welfare of our community, physically, but spiritually as well. And when little children are allowed to be abused, and we don't speak out because we're concerned about the newspapers, we're concerned about airing dirty laundry in public. In fact, we're creating a Chilul Hashem, which is undermining everything that Torah was meant to stand for. It says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Kol mi sheyesh biyado limchos ve'eino mocha ne'enash alav. Anyone who has the opportunity to protest, anyone who has the opportunity to change things and doesn't do so, is punished because of that. You know, it's just for modern cultural reference, if there are any Seinfeld fans out here, I just refer you to the last episode, the two-part episode. Enough said. What happened there was in the longest, without going into all the details of that particular episode, but Jerry and his friends are arrested because they see somebody who's being attacked and they don't do anything about it. And the defense attorney gets up, and this is in Boston because in Massachusetts, one of the few states in the United States in which there's actually an affirmative obligation to interfere and to involve yourself if somebody needs help. He gets up and says, my clients were innocent bystanders. Did you ever hear of a guilty bystander? By definition, a bystander is innocent. Now, that may be true in 46 states in the United States. That is not true according to Torah. Lo ta'amod adam re'echa means that you can't be a bystander. You can't stand on the blood of someone else without doing something, and if you do, you're guilty. In halacha, by definition, a bystander is guilty. And so while we heard about mandated reporters, which are generally individuals who have some kind of professional relationship with the child, teachers and therapists and camp counselors, whatever it may be, but not the neighbor and not the parent necessarily, according to halacha, we are all mandated reporters. We cannot keep silent. We cannot keep quiet. It says the Meiri in explaining this Gemara, that the violation of not reporting is not just the failure to report. The violation of not intervening is not just the failure of intervening. But writes the Meiri, nitvas hu min hashamayim ki ilu hu asa. When we don't report abuse, it's as if we ourselves abused that child because we allow the abuse to continue. And we allow that perpetrator to abuse other innocents. We are equally guilty. Abraham Joshua Heschel wrote an essay with the title, Few Are Guilty, All Are Responsible. Well, we're all responsible. But according to the Meiri, not just few are guilty. If they all are not responsible, then all are guilty. Thank you.